This morning's message is an exposition of Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But to those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your promise. Lord, we live in a time where the focus on your kingdom would appear to be a distant memory, tucked away by those in power and by those who have a platform to push their views. Lord, I pray for this country. I pray for this country's leaders that they put away divisiveness and self-indulging agendas. But Lord, I mostly pray for the people of this country. I pray we, as a nation and as individuals, put our trust in you, Lord, that we are quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, able to discern all that this world is throwing at us. For many are quick to cast judgment. Many are quick to stretch out their hands and embrace what's being peddled, to be led astray by evildoers. Lord, I pray that we are all reminded the only purpose for the righteous to stretch out their hand should be to help those in need of your salvation. Lord, it's strange that in this day and age, with computers and electronics, that we would take extra precautions to safeguard our devices from hackers, from those who would steal from us, or from those set to destroy our worldly devices through viruses, just for the sake of causing chaos. Lord, I pray that we are all awakened to the realization that you, Lord, are our personal defense, our spiritual antivirus. For you surround us and protect us forevermore. I also pray for your disciple, our brother, Pastor John. Lord, grant our shepherd your peace and wisdom as he prepares to deliver the message that you have placed in his path this week. Father, clear this place from distraction and focus his thoughts that your word would be a personalized invitation for all and awaken the hearts of everyone here this morning. For you are in control, Lord. And I pray that you would lift our brother up and let him know that you are well pleased. Lord, we love you. And we ask that you be here with us this morning and that the Spirit be present in our lives as we leave here today. Lord, we thank you and ask this through our salvation, our only advocate, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you're out in the rain, you should expect to get wet, right? Okay. And if your treasures are here on earth, you should expect to be stressed. Why? Because nothing here is a guarantee. Nothing. You can spend a lot of money on a security system to protect all your treasures and still have to sleep with one eye open. Okay. You can claw your way to the top and be crowned king and still bite your nails. You can plan the perfect picnic, and you still can't predict the weather, okay? Ours is a world of chance and uncertainty, of accidents and errors, of smoke and of mirrors. And because of that, we purchase insurance policies. We travel in packs. We stockpile ammunition, and we chew on Tums. I like cherry, okay? I like cherry. It tastes good. If you treasure anything here, I'm not treasure it. If you treasure anything here on earth, a reputation, a relationship, a retirement, you will have anxiety. And that anxiety will leave you leveraged. Okay? It will leave you leveraged. Force can be applied on you, to you, and to get you to move. Move away from love and joy, and move away from righteousness and peace. You know, people made a lot of fun of People made a lot of fun of Nancy Reagan's campaign against drug abuse back in the 80s. I grew up in the 80s. I remember it very well. Just say no, as a slogan, to a lot of people, to them, they criticized it as being unfeeling, condescending, not serious enough. But there's a simple and profound philosophical basis for this approach that campaign took, for the approach of just saying no. Reagan was cluing in an entire generation to the notion that there's such a thing as moral freedom. Okay. You are not an animal. You are not captive to your instincts and urges. You do not have to make drugs your life, is what she was saying. You can choose life without a life without narcotics, is what she was saying. I want to clue you into something as well today. You too have moral freedom today. You do not have to choose the curse. There is a curse that is spread out before us. Our enemy lays out before us a buffet of opportunities that if you indulge in and take into yourself, you bring upon yourself a curse. You do not have to choose that curse. You can choose today the blessing, okay? You do not have to seek the things of the world. You can seek first the kingdom of God. You can choose to do that today. You do not have to make your home in Babylon. You can live in Jerusalem, so to speak. Do you understand? It's your choice. You don't have to go down there and live in Sodom and Gomorrah, even though it's better land. Looks like you can make a better profit, a better life for yourself. You don't have to live there. Okay, you have moral freedom. God wants you to have and enjoy and experience in this life peace. God wants you to have your boat in the ocean, not the ocean in your boat. You know, most things in life are better handmade, right? Whether it be works of art or apple pie or a hutch or a chest of drawers or a tailored dress, whatever it is. Okay, most things are better handmade, but not peace. Any peace that's made by the hands of man, it's junk. Okay, it's not going to last. If you want to have a lasting peace in your home, in your heart, in your community, in your world, in this church, that peace, if it's going to last, if it's going to be good, it's not going to be made by anybody's hands. It's going to be made by the Lord, okay? And the Lord alone. You saw there on the beginning of verse 1 here, that this is listed as a song of ascent. David, in the book of Psalms is basically like a hymn book, if you want to think of it that way. It was the hymn book for the people of Israel. And David included in there 15 songs, which were a playlist for the pilgrimage. If you were going to go on a pilgrimage, they would queue up these 15 songs, and that short 45-minute walk from Jericho or the Dead Sea, whichever way you came, up to Jerusalem, you would sing these songs, okay? And it was your playlist. Well, this is one of those songs that the pilgrim, leaving his world and his life and his obligations and his family and everything else, and he's going to go up there to the temple to be with God and to get things straight. This is one of the songs that David wanted the people to sing. And so I know that today, this is likely a day where you need to get closer to the Lord, okay? There's an ascent that you need to make today from the valley in your life. And in order to do that, you have to be thinking about what God promises, what he affords, what he wants you to enjoy, to know, and to experience. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about peace. And I think it's apropos. I'm not surprised God had this psalm, put this psalm in me for you today because of just how little peace we enjoy today and how much turmoil there is. So I want to show you three things from this passage about this peace, which seems elusive to us. The first thing I want to show you is that peace, first of all, is a decision. Look at me again at just verse 1. Here the psalmist says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever." Trust in the Lord. Okay, trust is all about making a decision. That's what it is. Think of the little kid on the diving board. Okay. Do I jump off of this diving board? Do I trust my father who's sitting there in the pool with his arms out? You know, do I do that? It's the lover at the altar. It's the climber who's looking to make his next step, and he sees or she sees that ledge, that rock ledge or that tree limb. Is that able to support my weight? That's the other question. It's the broker looking to make his next investment, the patient and the procedure, the sinner and salvation. You get it, on and on and on. What little I have by way of time, strength, opportunity, energy, and resources, to what and in what do I entrust those things? Sometimes it's nicer when they stay in the womb, you know. It's nice when they... just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, it's great. It's great they come out. So, okay. So, the forecast got colder today. No, so I'm sorry. Just kidding. She's so great. That's such a great treat to have. I love having my kids in the service. I'm so thankful Lisa does that. I wish they'd listen a little better, but she's super sweet, so God bless her. It's a big burden to put your trust in something, okay? It's a big, big, big burden. Where you put your trust will have a lot to do in determining how happy and fulfilled you are, okay? We have all these things. We have some time, we have some energy, we have some strength, some opportunity, we have some resources. Not a lot, but we have some. And these things are there for us to invest, and we have to put our trust in something. We can't just have it all in ourselves. And so where you decide to put your trust really is a huge determiner in how happy and fulfilled you are. It's very hard. Okay, so it's a big burden, all this putting trust in stuff. You know, one of the most fought over pieces of land on the face of the earth is a little plateau in the Judean Mountains, situated between the Mediterranean on the west and the Dead Sea on the east. Jerusalem, this city, one of the most fought over pieces of land on the face of the earth. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem, I've gotten a chance to go twice. It's like a big stone table up there in the middle of the Judean Mountains. And on this stone table, it looks like just a bunch of big limestone Lego blocks, okay? And if you go to Jerusalem in 2018, you're going to see what the current kingdom, the current kings and rulers and presidents and so on and so forth, what they've assembled with these Lego blocks, okay? Countless kings, emperors, pharaohs, and generals have come to that little table and knocked down what somebody else has created and built out of those blocks whatever they wanted to create. And that's the history of Jerusalem, knocking things down and rebuilding them using the same limestone building blocks for the last couple centuries. Lots of big grand plans and impressive displays of power. But you know, in that city, there's been nothing permanent, nothing. All of the towers, the temples, the obelisks, the mosques, they all go away, or they all will go away. However, just outside the walls of the old city, to the east, sits Mount Zion, just outside the city. And it remains unmoved. That mount has been the same now for thousands and thousands of years. Every day, for thousands of years, as the sun rises in the east, that mount casts a long shadow over whatever's been built in Jerusalem, the city. Mount Zion has cast this long shadow on all that people like Herod, Alexander, Muhammad, what they've all built on that table. It's bigger than that. It's more permanent than all of that. It's fixed and it's unmovable. What is David saying here in verse 1? He says, leave the Legos alone for the kids to play with. Okay. Let them have all those blocks on that table. Trust in the Lord and be like that which cannot be moved. Amen. Be like Mount Zion. David says, those who trust in the Lord. Whatever you have of time, energy, strength, resources, your own life, invest that, trust, put all your trust in the Lord, and he will make you like that mount. Not like the temple, which does not abide forever, he says, which can be moved and destroyed and dismantled and taken apart piece by piece. Don't trust in that. Don't be like that. Be like Mount Zion, which is fixed and immovable. Peace is a decision you have to make. Do I entrust everything to God? I want you to understand something today. There's no peace absent that decision. Okay? Some of you say, well, maybe I'll have peace without doing anything. Maybe if I just stumble along and keep going however I want to go, maybe peace will just be visited upon me. No. If you want to have peace today, it's by making a decision. Okay? You've got to choose it. David says here, those who trust in the Lord. You have to put your trust in the Lord. And once you've done that, once you've made that decision, peace falls on you. You know, there's a tempest brewing in our nation's capital. Ours could be, I don't know if it will be, but things are in place for us to have our time being a very tumultuous time. It's possible. What I want to encourage you in today, if all this comes tumbling down, which I pray it doesn't, but if all this comes tumbling down, do not be caught trapped in the rubble, okay? Don't be caught trapped in the rubble of something which is movable, which is not fixed, which is temporal. God wants you to be above it all, okay? He wants you to live above it all. Trust in the Lord and live above it. The nation that we live in here today badly needs a church at peace. Our nation badly needs a church that is able to offer wisdom and salvation. I'd like for the church to be to America, Mount Zion, which is not moved, okay? A lot of stuff's going to change. People come in and out of power. There's all kinds of turmoil, people jockeying for position, trying to assume control. Let them have it, okay? Let's put our trust in the Lord, and let's us be like that thing which has been fixed and unchanging now for thousands and thousands of years, offering wisdom, counsel, insight into that which is forever, eternal, the Lord, okay? So first thing, that's the first thing. Peace is a decision. Second thing I want you to see here today is that peace is a position. Look with me at verse 2. Here the song continues. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, of course, the one hiking up from the valley would have seen this. You're seeing this big mountain range that's all around, the Judean mountains all around this big table. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. When you're surrounded, you're in a vulnerable position, right? When you're surrounded. And if you're encircled by a ring of fire, if you're up in the mountains, say out west, and the forest fire, there becomes just this big ring, there's no gap for you to shoot through. There's no way of escape if the fire's all around. If you're surrounded by a pack of wolves, there's really no way to defend your back, okay? You can only see what's in front of you. And with armies all around, there's nowhere to retreat to. You have to surrender. Being surrounded is a very vulnerable feeling, okay? It's not how we want to be, especially if the thing that's surrounding us wants to do us harm. But what if you were surrounded by one who, instead of wanting to do you harm, would love you unconditionally and would guard you jealously and would preserve you eternally? I would gladly be vulnerable to that force. Okay. If you want to win peace for yourself, you're going to have to allow yourself to be surrounded by the Lord. You're going to have to be vulnerable. Okay. You're going to have to make it so that in your relationship with God, there's no gap for you to shoot through, that there's no space for you to retreat to. You've completely surrendered, and that you aren't worried about your back, because you believe in the Lord, okay? You've put your trust in him. You don't want to escape. You have to accept that vulnerability in order to enjoy the peace that it wins in your heart and into your mind. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, don't use God as a shield today, something to pick up when the arrows are flying and to put back down when there's relative peace in your life. Don't use God as a resource, an ally to call on when war is threatened. If somebody is giving you a hard time, to call on the Lord and call in his alliance with you. Don't do that. Don't use God as a safe haven, a shelter to run to in a time of storm. Instead, live under his wing, okay? There is not going to be any peace in your life without an intimate and abiding relationship with the Lord, okay? It's that simple. A lot of you have been trying to enjoy peace by using God to get it, having God be a means to an end. It doesn't work that way. If you want to have peace, you're going to have to be surrounded by him. Peace is a position. It's living life under his wing. It's a relationship. We can think of Daniel in the lion's den, or those fellows in the fiery furnace, Paul in Ephesus, Jesus on the Sea of Galilee during the storm. We can think about us here now, okay? I really believe that for us as a church right now, we're enjoying this time with the Lord, where we have allowed him to surround us. I'm thankful for that. I don't think here at Emmanuel Church presently we're trying to use God to advance some kind of personal agenda or agenda we have as a church. We've allowed the Lord to surround us. And in him surrounding us, where I think the elders have worked hard to ensure that us as a people anyway, there's no room for retreat. There's no gaps to shoot through, no break in our flank. We've allowed God to completely surround us. That makes it harder in some ways, completely reliant upon him. We allow him to challenge us and charge us. But there's peace here for that reason. And I praise the Lord for that. You know, often we talk about drought. And when you're talking about a drought, usually talking about rivers running dry, aquifers running out of water, springs no longer springing. You know, you hardly ever talk about the ocean suffering drought. And there's a reason for that. Okay, the ocean is beyond drought. It's too big. It is the water system for the world. I know that when you rely on rivers and aquifers, ponds and springs, those sometimes falter and fail. Okay, God is the ocean. And when you trust in him, you never suffer, you never know drought. Peace is a wonderful position. Final thing I want you to see from this passage. Peace is a decision that you make. It's a position that you live in relationship. And finally, peace is a protection. Look with me at verses 3-5. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. If you trust in the Lord today and you're surrendered to his love and relationship, then you are free from the power of wickedness. Hallelujah. Okay. If you trust in the Lord and you're surrendered to him in relationship, what the song is asserting is that you are free from the power of wickedness. You know, when a gun is drawn on you, you stick up your hands, okay? It's a sign of surrender. Say, here are my hands. I'm not going to try to do anything. What do you want me to do? You put your hands up. A scepter, which is a rod or a wand, it's a symbol of imperial power, okay? And here on earth, the imperial power is satanic. It's evil, okay? There is a imperial power here on earth. And Satan wields that scepter of wickedness here on earth. It's a drawn gun. Every time you turn on the TV, it's a stick up. Okay? Every time you leave your house, go to work, shop the marketplace, it's a stick up. We're being mugged all day long. Okay? Everybody is this world is constantly drawing a gun on you. And our response almost all day, every day is, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Pick my pocket. Take whatever you want. Lead me wherever you want. I'm yours. That's a terrible way to live if you're going to have your pocket picked for the rest of your life, if you're going to be mugged the rest of your life, you're going to be led away to do awful, disturbing, difficult things for the rest of your life. I don't want to live like that, do you? Amen. Thank you. But wickedness, praise the Lord, is not the only one with a gun. Amen? Okay. Who else has imperial power? The Lord. Okay. I want you to know when God is around, guess who's sticking their hands up? Satan. Okay. Satan sticks his hands up. And he's led away. What does he say here? Those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with the evildoers. Get out of here. When you are surrounded by God, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, the scepter of wickedness is not able to rest on the land okay? Lest you stretch out and be tempted and fall under its spell and sin and fall headlong into problems. So I'm not going to allow that. Okay, praise the Lord for that. Pursue righteousness and do good, and peace will be your protection. I love Proverbs 28:1 that says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Praise the Lord. You know, wicked people are always running. They don't even know what from. But the righteous are bold as a lion. That's what God has called for us. You know, when you buy a car today, the expectation is if it breaks down, you're going to take it to the shop to get it fixed. Okay, they might give you a jack and a tire iron, but they're not giving you anything else. If your car breaks down, you got to go get it fixed. Well, this week I went, John Hansen picked me up at the church and took me for coffee, and he picked me up in his 1931 Model A, and it was a lot of fun. He's a great guy. It was a lot of fun tooling around with him in his Model A. But one thing he said to me about that car, which really stuck out to me, was he said, you know, back then when you bought this car, it came with a big toolkit with it. It came with a full set of tools for you to do every bit of maintenance on that car. The expectation when you bought a 1931 Model A Ford was that when it broke down, you fixed it. Okay? And here it's everything you could possibly need to fix this car. It's all right here in this kit. Keep it in, well, there was no trunk, so keep it below your feet. Your faith, okay, when it breaks down, and it might break down today, okay, the expectation is not that you need to take it somewhere to get it fixed. Take it to somebody to get it fixed, to some retreat, to some seminar, to some camp, as good as those things may be. The expectation is when you're filled with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the expectation is that when you break down, the Spirit will fix it yourself, okay? That you have within you, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, everything necessary to find relief, to find salvation, to find redemption, to find a course correction, and to get back right with the Lord. Trust in the Lord, okay? Put your trust in Him today. Fall in love with Him. Pursue Him. Pursue a love for righteousness and holiness, and in that you will see your peace maintained. So I don't know what this week's going to hold personally, locally, nationally, but I don't want to get an ulcer over it, okay? And I don't want to have my gut turned all inside out. I want to live in peace this week, not because I'm indifferent to what's going on in my home, in my community, in my country, in the halls of our government, not at all, but because I am fit to provide good wisdom and counsel. I'm fit to get involved. I'm fit to pray. I'm also fit because I'm above the rubble, okay? And I'm trusting in the Lord. That's the call of the church, to be that designated driver in a drunk world. We must be positionally at peace. We must be free from wickedness at peace. And we must have made a decision to be at peace by putting everything in our entrusted to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for this faith. We're thankful for your church. Lord, I don't know what the country looks to anymore. I mean, I think they look to all manner of things. I think they're going to take a peek at the church too when things go bad. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't see the church trying to fight over the Legos a whole lot, and looking to scrap for supremacy, but rather, Lord, that they would see a church that has its heart fixed on what is eternal, has its mind clear, its eye clear, and Lord, I'd look that they would see a church that was heartbroken over what's become of us as a people, what's become of us, our homes, what's become of our towns, our government, our rule and law and all the rest of it. Lord, I pray that they would see a church that could provide good wisdom and counsel, not in just things spiritual, but things political, things scientific, things related to sex and money and government and all the rest of it. Lord, I pray that the church would be lion-hearted during this time, that we'd be bold, that we wouldn't be running, fleeing, looking for cover, but rather, Lord, that we'd be able to stand firm and to offer things of value to those around us. Lord, I pray that for us as a church, it would start with us. I pray, Lord, that we would, if we're holding anything back, that we would stop doing that, but that we'd learn to trust in you entirely, to put all our weight on you. Lord, I pray, too, that we would surrender to the opportunity of a loving relationship with you, to live in an intimate and abiding relationship with you through the Holy Spirit, that we might be surrounded by your love today, that we wouldn't know, that we wouldn't visit you anymore, that we wouldn't try to use you as a shield or a shelter, a safe haven, but Lord, that we would live with you and that you would be around us entirely. Lord, I pray too that you would be, that this peace that we would win would free us from the restraints of sin and wickedness. Lord, it's an awful thing to try to do your work when we're hampered by temptation and sin and sadness and all the rest of it. So, Lord, free us from that by working in and through our lives. Lord, we love you. We love being alive today. We love being Christians. We love America. We love 2018. We love New England. We love philosophy and thought and our neighbors, and we want to be involved in the whole thing. It's a fascinating, wonderful time to be alive and to be alive for you. Lord, clue us into all that's possible. Show us what it means to live for you. Take us into your confidence. Instill within us a sense of passion and purpose for these days that we live in. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.